Happy birthday to you. Happy
Hi, welcome to Two Filthy Nerds.
Happy birthday.
I don't know if that started at the right time.
Happy birthday.
Because I don't understand the recording.
Happy birthday to you.
Are you waiting for me to scream at you? Or
yes,
like,
I am. I'm
Please God, stop singing.
Oh God. Okay.
Hi guys, welcome to Two Filthy Nerds.
Your favorite podcast if you live in Hong Kong, apparently.
Apparently. What's the other place we're popular?
The Netherlands.
The Netherlands and Hong Kong.
Once charted in South Africa.
So thank you to our international fans. We love you guys so much. It's Two Filthy Nerds because there's two of us.
And we're filthy.
And we're nerds.
And that's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing. That's our whole shtick.
Yeah. Whole ordeal. Okay, let's just get into it. We're running our mouths, start off the episode like we always do. And though we have thanked our international fans, we are going to talk about something going on here
in the U.S.,
woo!
Which you guys definitely know about because everybody in the world knows about Mr. Kanye West.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's running to be president of our country.
He's going to run for president. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he even has the paperwork in or what the deadlines are. I don't know.
I feel like when you have enough money, you can just get that shit done real quick.
Yeah, it's so funny that it's like, well, what deadlines really apply to a rich person?
Yeah.
Do deadlines mean anything if you can just go, what about money?
Billionaire. Is he a billionaire?
I don't know, but his wife is. And it seems like she doesn't have anything to do with her money. Is she going to buy more butt implants?
Ugh.
Has what, 13 horses?
She has 14 butts.
It looks like it.
Everybody in that family has ass. It's just not fair.
Yeah, well, they have the best ass money can buy. Literally how it got there.
When I have a lot of money, I'm going to buy you an ass. How about that?
I actually am totally fine with my body the way it is. So
wait, you said you might want a butt one day.
Yeah, well, I don't. Just give me lipo. Just take the fat out of my stomach so that at least by contrast, my butt doesn't look as small.
Yes. Okay.
Because right now I'm like a bag of refried beans walking around on toothpicks. Just like, whoa.
Yum, 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 yum,
like
yum, 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 yum. Sounds delish.
And it's like, you know.
Anyway, so Kanye West is running for president.
Under, by the way, not under the Republican Party.
No.
He identifies mostly as a Republican. He had said that maybe if Trump wasn't running, he would run. I think he's like, well, if Trump wasn't running, I would run as the Republican candidate.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, no, because that's how that works, is that you just go, it's me now.
It's me now. Oh, I'm rich. It's me now. Yep. It's my turn.
Yeah. But I guess he's like,
all of you guys in line, I own the line. Okay.
I mean, and he got so much shit for being a Trump supporter. So him coming out and being like, I don't think Trump's doing a good job, is telling that it's like, okay, well, people who maybe once supported Trump don't think Trump's doing a fucking good job.
I mean, here's the thing.
Because he's not.
Here's the thing. I truly believe Kanye West is just doing this to run interference and distract voters from casting votes for Biden. All he's trying to do is take away votes from Biden so Trump can win.
You think he wants Trump to win?
Yes, I do think he wants Trump to win. 1,000%.
I feel like a lot of people feel that way, which is interesting because the only people I've heard say, I might vote for Kanye, are my Republican parents.
Yeah.
Which means he's taking votes from Trump.
Do you think a lot of people feel the way your parents do? Why would your parents want to vote for Kanye? Can you just explain what their rationale was?
Yeah, their rationale is that they are diehard not Democrats and they don't think Trump's
What
do
they object about being a Democrat so much? What's the big hatred for Democrats for them?
They're pull yourself up by your bootstraps people. They're, I made this money, I should get to keep this money. They're, you know what I mean? They think that Democratic and liberal ideals are for people who want to mooch off the system and not work as hard, which is very funny because my stepdad basically lives off of my mother's salary.
Hilarious.
Like she's the breadwinner. It's like, you don't make enough money to be
snotty.
Yeah.
No.
You okay over here? Mogi started hooting.
It sounds like a face fart is what it is.
Yeah. She gets hairballs, I think. She, because she's so long haired and she'll like lick her legs. Starts getting anyway.
So if your parents have that mindset, there's probably other people who have that mindset. I can't imagine
My parents just, for whatever reason, and it's like, in my mind, is mostly, it's dumbassery. It's like political dumbassery. I don't have a better word for it, which
it's a great word.
Speaks miles to, you know, my intellect, but
they have a lot of dumbassery. I'm smart.
No, my parents are the Republican equivalent of vote blue no matter who, which is fucking stupid. But I understand the importance of voting for Biden right now because you're also voting for getting a Democratic president because we Supreme Court, we need to refill a position. We're likely to possibly lose someone in a position. And that's very
By the
important.
Way, big news. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was hospitalized yesterday and today she is out of the hospital.
She's out? I thought she was just in.
She's discharged. She's out of the hospital. She's fine now.
What a woman.
Why? Because this bitch won't die. Don't fuck with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The RBG for life.
I mean, forever.
Forever.
Yeah. And I think it's just like that. I think that it's some people look at their political views as like they're picking a team they have allegiance to.
Yeah, that's what it is now. Politics or sports. And now because there's no sports, politics are sports more than ever.
Yeah. And so people need to like have a side and be like, I want to win. And
yeah. People want blood, guts, glory, all the shit.
And then the people who want you to shut the fuck up about having an opinion that's not just go for Joe Biden. It's like. Yeah, well, no, you can realize that the thing to do because of the situation we're in is vote for Joe Biden and still voice the fact that our system is completely fucked.
Yeah.
And I'll say this about Kanye West. If he can disrupt the system enough to get
amount of votes.
This is not an endorsement, but to get a significant amount of votes, that could possibly change the party system. Which is, I think, a core part of why our country's political system is so fucked.
It's because it's two parties.
And it's two parties. And that like other parties don't get invited. They don't get to go to the major debates.
No.
The fact that you can register as Democratic, Republican, or Independent, that's what you can register as.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. Can you register? I believe so, yeah.
You're basically Democrat, Republican, or none.
Yeah. And also this attitude people have of like you're either with us or against us. It's like, yeah, and that we're in this position where people who are independent now have to feel like they have to make a choice where it's like, yeah, fuck you. You should have to earn my vote. I am going to vote for Biden.
You have to. There's no other choice.
Unless by some miracle he decides to drop and the Democratic Party actually puts forth a candidate who's not a fucking old piece of shit. But like the fact that people just go like, at what point has the election not been so crucial that like, no, you have to vote for the party because you have to think bigger picture. And it's like, cool. Well, we're never going to get past a shitty system if it's always like, well, I understand that, you know, maybe there's problems with the two party system, but this time
I remember years ago when Ralph Nader was running, he said this thing about, I may not win the battle, but I'm going to win the war. And his whole mindset was, yeah, I'm not going to win this election. But the fact that I'm here, I'm in the game, I'm putting forth the ideals of the Green Party, that's what's important.
Yeah,
to put it, to inject
coverage.
To get enough coverage, to inject his points into the dialogue, just disrupting the dialogue between the two parties.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, he's not going to win. But as long as they know that there's people out there who give a fuck about whatever the Green Party agenda is, they're going to have to address those issues on their bigger stages. And that's all that Ralph Nader is about.
Well, because they're going to have to. Those are the votes you need.
Yeah.
The people who are like, but I'll always vote blue no matter who. Cool. Like, that's not who you need to campaign to.
Yeah, you're not campaigning to those people. You're campaigning to the people who are like, I don't know, you know.
It's like, yeah, you know, like, I care about social justice and I want Medicare for all. Like, are you gonna?
It's so interesting.
Do that?
My mom, I would think my mom would be a Republican because she's a self-made woman and, you know.
Well, it's very funny how that seems to be the thought process too.
Yeah.
Is that like once people, I think that people who come from nothing and make money understand the struggle a little more.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Like,
cause she is like, no, you have to pay a lot in taxes. You pay a lot in taxes because it benefits the entire world around you.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, why wouldn't you want other people to have enough?
Why wouldn't you want other people to have access to affordable healthcare?
Yeah, like how does that hurt you? Oh, my taxes. And it's like, yeah, but you also have that healthcare. You're like the money you're losing on taxes is now covering the fucking asshole asshole load.
The
you're
asshole
paying
load.
For health insurance.
Yeah. I don't understand that mindset of, I think healthcare for me is the biggest issue. Even more so than schools.
I would vote Republican if a Republican said that they would give health. That they never would.
Yeah, they never would.
But if a Republican was running on a platform of guaranteeing healthcare for all, I would be like, nothing else matters to me.
And we can see from the way other countries with socialized medicine have dealt with COVID, we've seen that their numbers are in safe zones, that they've flattened the curve.
All the bullshit that people try to talk about with socialized medicine and how, oh, but this, it's faulty and you'll have to wait forever. It's like, yeah, no, we saw how that actually works.
It works out. It does work out. Well, my cousins in Canada, you remember when we went to Toronto?
Yeah.
One of my cousins had a bad shoulder and it was painful. It was like, you know, it wasn't affecting her every step she took, but it's like, you know, she had a bum shoulder. So a part of socialized medicine is you go to the doctor, they assess your shoulder. They see that they're like, okay, you're going to need a surgery. Right now there's a line for surgery, but based on how bad yours is, you get bumped up in the surgery line.
So they put you in the line by.
Yeah. So she was a month out from her surgery. I'm like, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
So everyone else can get, you know, and then, you know, there's issues like if you have cancer, you go straight to the top of the list. There's no list. You get treated immediately. It's not like you're going to be waiting forever to get treatment for a terrible disease. No. If you have a lump in your breast, you're getting the surgery to get the lump in your breast out, period. There's no fucking waiting period.
Yeah. If you have like a ganglion cyst on your wrist that really isn't affecting your quality of life, but you just don't like the way it looks, you might be further down the line.
Yeah. You might be further down the line.
But that's fine. You'll appreciate that when you have a tumor in your brain.
Yeah. And you'll appreciate that when someone you fucking love is at death's fucking door if they don't get that surgery.
And here it's just like you're shit out of luck.
Yeah. You're just,
oh, we can't see you. You don't have insurance.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, your shoulder kills you and you can't work anymore. You can't. Some guy whose job is, you know, he's a mover and that's how he makes his money. And now he has a bad shoulder and can't do anything. And oh, well, we're sorry. You have no health insurance. So now you can't do the job that you've been doing for years.
Well, so, and it's also for people who seem to be so concerned about where their taxes are going and wanting to hoard their own money. It's like, yeah, do you understand like people on disability and how that number would go down? Probably significantly if we had adequate access to healthcare.
Yeah.
Because how many people end up permanently disabled from something because
that they just let it keep going?
Because they couldn't afford to get it treated. Or it's like from a debilitating disease, which if you were on the right meds, you might be more functional or mental health shit.
Yeah.
Like it's the whole thing's fucked. And by the way, I don't even know Kanye's plan for healthcare. I think I read somewhere that he wants people to have healthcare. Here's what I do know. Not what I do know. Here's what I think is that he would just executive order away abortions. And of course, the Supreme Court would hopefully come back and be like, you can't
I
do don't, that.
I truly believe that. I feel like everything I've heard about like states trying to overturn abortion stuff, it just keeps getting swatted down.
Yeah, because it's. The like the Roe v. Wade is like, yeah, no, the precedent has been made.
Yeah, it's been set. That's
exists.
It.
Get work on something else.
Yeah.
Also, even if you are pro-life, if you have a politician who's actively working on that as their main campaign, you should be fucking pissed.
Furious.
The world's on fire and that's your concern.
That's your big thing. That's ridiculous. Go get something to do. Go.
Is worrying about more people coming into an already fucking fractured society where there aren't enough jobs and everybody's dying and can't go back to work. That's your concern.
Yeah, you're really
pro-life?
Die on that hill.
Work on a cure for COVID.
Yeah.
Close down your fucking state.
I just saw
stupid there's a, Florida.
There was a gun store in Michigan and there was a sign on it that said, all of our employees are armed for your safety. Take off your masks and put your hands in the air when you come in.
What?
Yeah, you can't go in there with a mask on.
What store?
A gun store in Michigan, in like Kentwood, Michigan or something.
Because they're worried you're robbing them?
That's how anti-mask, that's how anti-liberal they are, that they're like, oh, there are stores that are going to force people to wear masks. All right, well, we're going to force people not to wear masks. What's your fucking problem?
You, Look, if you think that wearing a mask, and I know we've said this before, is a political statement, you are a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And I'm someone who will meet people where they're at, and I'm very willing to go, well, I want to try to see how you see things and where you come from so I can understand why you feel this way. There is medical proof that a mask reduces the spread of the virus.
Also, bullshit on you can't breathe in a mask.
Also, if you can't breathe in a mask, you shouldn't be out in fucking public.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you're high risk, you fucking idiot.
Those masks are not that thick. They are not that heavy. Those blue surgically mask things, surgeons stand for 8 hours wearing those masks. If a human being can stand for 8 hours wearing a mask, listen,
while
I'm sure,
cutting a body open.
And by the way, I'm sure they take a break. They're not standing hands in a body for 8 hours straight. I'm sure at some point they're like, all right, there's a pausing point in a surgery where they can step away for a minute or two, go in another room, take a deep breath with their mask off, and get back in the game. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
You're fine. Like, and if you're not fine, I mean, I just said it, but it's like, If a mask is giving you breathing problems, you either have a lung problem or you're so fucking out of shape that the mask isn't the issue.
It's just, you know, it's bullshit. You know, it's bullshit. There is absolutely no reason for you not to wear a mask. I want to know if anyone has heard from a doctor, what are the medical conditions that are conditions that would require you not wear a mask. I don't know. There's just nothing. Well, wear a fucking mask.
Even if you have breathing problems, which I could see that being a thing, maybe asthma, you're not fucking going to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And also,
now's not a good time to be out.
Oh, my lungs are so bad. The mask hurts them. I better take them off where COVID is. Honestly, that's natural selection at this point.
It really is. It really is.
Bon voyage.
The next door app, my mom, In the area where she lives in Michigan, people were complaining about having to wear masks. And some woman was like, it's hard to breathe in a mask. And then some guy who lives down the street from my mom, who's also a doctor, writes, oh, wow. If you think it's hard to breathe with a mask on, you're going to love a respirator.
Yeah, good. Good for him. It's also like, if you're having trouble breathing with a mask on, you should probably go to the emergency room.
Yeah.
You probably have COVID.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
crazy.
For what? All because your fucking metaphorical political sports team is like, no, masks are gay. Or whatever.
Probably.
That it's like, oh, safety's for losers. Like, do you feel cool?
If you're the idiot who drives a motorcycle with no helmet, you're definitely the idiot who's not wearing a mask.
Yeah. And if you know a man who actively doesn't wear a mask, don't fuck him because he's going to give you gonorrhea.
Oh, and by the way, one of our friends who I recently saw, you know who I'm talking about, told me that she thinks COVID might be a bit of a conspiracy.
I don't know who you're talking about, and I can't wait for you to tell me when we turn this off, because
we know someone who actually thinks COVID's
conspiracy as in it's not real. Conspiracy as in it was
invented in China. It's not real, and it's not really as bad as they say it is.
And what is the logic? That the Democrats are trying to crush the economy?
I don't know.
I just burped. I'm so sorry. You guys, nobody wants the economy to be shut down.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
By the way, I don't want that at all. I want everything to come back. I want to do comedy again.
Yeah, I want to.
She wants to do comedy again.
I want to fucking leave that goddamn house.
We want to go do all kinds of shit.
Anything.
We want to go to the 101 coffee shop more than anything in the whole fucking wide world. Why? Because we love to waste our money there.
I know.
The burritos.
The burritos.
It's so overpriced.
Delicious.
So excessive. So good. Will I eat dairy while I'm there? Absolutely. Will I blow my ass all out and fart for 7 days? You betcha.
But we're not. You have to make sacrifices. And if everyone could just hunker down for it, fucking 3 weeks.
Yeah. They said that if every single person wore a mask, it would take like three months or four weeks or whatever. It's the same thing. For them to get COVID completely under control.
So if you haven't been wearing a mask and you live somewhere that's now going in lockdown, before you go to sleep at night, I just want you to sit in your bed and think about how this is all your fault.
Mm-hmm.
You are ruining it for everyone.
Just know that if you object to a mask in any way, shape, or form, we directly blame you for our loss of income. Yeah. And you will be receiving at some point an invoice for our lost
Someone
wages.
Literally is like, oh yeah, fucking liberals think we're gonna
the liberal agenda.
Honestly, yeah. If you're not wearing a mask, you are a party pooper, and the party is life, and you're ruining it for all.
Yeah, you're running in the pooper party.
So
pooper party of poop, right this way.
I guess it started as a Kanye rant, but just turned into masks. But yeah, that's fine.
Guys, we promise at every point in every rant, we will go off on people who don't wear masks, because at this point,
it's
they're really everything comes back to people who don't wear masks.
We're trapped in our houses and our city has
colleges charging people for full tuition because they're even though they're not going to school. Directly a result of people not wearing masks.
That's another rant. And
that's another rant. But everything's because people aren't wearing masks.
Okay, but colleges charging full tuition is because education is a fucking scam.
Also,
until Harvard lowers their prices and is very public about it while no one is in school, I will gladly tell Harvard to go fuck itself every episode.
Mm-hmm. So Harvard, go fuck itself, and people not wearing masks, go fuck yourselves. Yeah. Super. And I mean, go fuck yourselves, not with anything good. No. I am talking.
Drive your Ford F-150 into a river and stay there.
And take a fish out of that river that has mercury poisoning, like a spiny fish, and then shove it in your holes.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We love you so much.
We're going to take a break, and then we'll talk about happy, cheery Harry Potter stuff.
Yay!
Bye.
Because every time I've watched the recording, it starts recording immediately.
Well, this is really interesting banter to people who are listening or watching the podcast. You guys,
listen, we're here and we're queer,
and it's chapter 9.
By the way, we're not queer. I mean, I'm definitely on the spectrum.
Oh, I'm 100% queer. Do I have to like talk about it?
No, I mean, you don't need to make it a part of your stand up.
Or like,
unless you want to get JFL like, new faces.
I don't even think that would help.
Nope. Anywho. All right, you guys.
Does it even exist anymore? My old face. All right. Wave it all away.
The Dark Mark, chapter 9.
We're, Dark Mark. I mean, shit's getting fucking, this is when the franchise in general. Okay. We'll back up.
We left off.
Quidditch World Cup, it just ended.
Quidditch World Cup. Okay, now say about the franchise.
Ireland won. Fred and George just won a fuck ton of money. And this is where the Harry Potter franchise, in my opinion, there's that meme we shared with the first two books in the pink and purple and the
rest of the house is dark.
Like in a black. But I have always thought that it really gets dark in the fourth book is where things start to turn. And this chapter is where you're like, oh shit.
Yeah. It's dark.
Is fucking.
It's dark as fuck. You want to know how dark it is? There's a chapter called The Dark Mark.
And that is the chapter we're talking about, which we just said, but that's fine.
Okay, so Fred
and
George.
It's not melanoma.
It's get it checked by a doctor ASAP. You might have The Dark Mark.
You've got The Dark Mark. Oh my God. I'm possessed by Voldemort? No, it's cancer.
It's a really sad way of letting someone know they have cancer.
But like fun. For
Fun.
A second.
Oh, you think it's Voldemort? Nah, you're actually going
to
die.
Yeah, we have to take a chunk out of your arm.
So the Weasleys won a lot of money.
And Mr. Weasley's like, don't tell your fucking mom.
Don't tell your mom. Which I'm like, why is that significant? Also, I think the amount of money that these kids win, something plays into that. That's not a coincidence that they
won
that much money.
This money is going to go to something.
It's going to go to something extremely.
Really?
This is an extremely important pot of money they have won.
You don't think that this is just a detail of
of the wizard world of like life
of
in the wizard
them
world
being reckless and gambling, and they happen to win, and Mr. Weasley's like, "Do not tell your mom you did that. She'll blow up at you guys. She's going to fucking rip my ear off." Talk my ear off.
That money is in some way going to come out and save the day.
You think so?
Yeah. That money is important. And at some point, it's going to get everybody out of hot water.
It's an interesting thought.
Anyways.
That's all I will say.
So, I love how good of a liar you are that I can't guess.
You're right. I am a good liar. That was not an interesting thought.
I don't believe you at all. I don't know how to believe you.
Well,
you're good. I mean, you are good.
Am you are I? Good.
We should use
or
these
are
podcasts.
You good at lying, and you keep doing this to show how good you are at lying by lying about how good I am at lying.
No, I mean, I know I'm a good liar, but you're good. You're fucking good.
You're saying we should use this as what? A test?
You should use this as a reel, an acting reel.
Interesting.
You're like the last book when you were like, nah, that's not a spoiler. Fucking wow. I mean, look out, Kate Blanchett. You have got this fucking blondie hot on your fucking heels.
Are you listening, Hollywood? No.
It's there. Me, Margaret.
It's me, Margaret Thatcher. I don't know what she sounds like.
Neither do I. But I feel like Margaret Thatcher probably sounds like this.
Okay, anyway, we got a long chapter.
Okay. All right, so everybody's freaking out on the campgrounds. There's mass celebrations going on. It's fucking pandemonium, and everybody's
Irish
just like,
people
well,
are drunk. It's great.
And you know, when Irish people celebrate, it's a riot. So the shit's you know, popping off.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And Harry
night.
And everybody in their little wizard camp, they all go to sleep. They're like, all right, we'll just turn in for the night. Let the craziness go on.
Yeah, Harry's like snuggling up, falling asleep, dreaming of being a professional
Quidditch
player. And then
Mr. Weasley wakes him up.
Oh, right.
With some bad news. Yeah. Harry, we must run.
Yeah, I guess that is what happens. He's fucking startled. It's definitely not wake up time as he thought. He's barely
and nobody
asleep.
Likes to be woken up like that. Nobody likes to be woken up of, quick, get some clothes on. We gotta go.
Get outside. Mr. Weasley pulls him outside, has him get on jackets, and just tells him to run into the woods.
Yeah, run into the woods.
Hermione, Ron, the twins, and Jenny. He's like, just go.
Go. So they head to the woods, and then Mr. Weasley and everyone else in the Ministry of Magic is like, all right, we're going to stay behind here and get shit under control. So what happened and what all the commotion was is this group of wizards in like hoods, dark hoods,
yeah,
were fucking with all of the muggles.
Yeah.
And so the campgrounds guy, Mr. What's his
Roberts.
Name? Mr. Roberts, his wife and their two kids
are in the air,
60 feet in the air, just fucking with them.
Just being held up by wands, just flipping them around. Yep. Mrs. Roberts' underwear is showing. And this,
by the way, they refer to underwear as knickers.
Her knickers.
Who's worried about seeing knickers? Like, who's like, my knickers are showing?
A British woman.
I know, but they're big. Knickers are like big, bloomy underwear, no?
Yeah, her mom's probably not a nudist.
Oh.
Some
boundaries.
People have shape.
Boundaries. What are those?
Yeah,
anywho.
And it's this weird looming group in hoods, and it seems to be the group's like getting bigger, and they're just
it's
plowing over people's tents.
Lighting shit on fire. It's turned into a mob. It's turned into mass chaos.
It's scary, and people are screaming and running.
So the kids and everybody are all heading off to the forest. They run into Draco Malfoy. Of course, fucking Malfoy starts going at Hermione because Hermione's from a family of muggles.
Oh yeah, Malfoy, by the way, chilling in the
chilling.
Woods. He doesn't seem worried at all.
Nothing at all. Why? Because there's fucking blood on his hands.
Probably.
Because comes from a bad family, and we know that the Malfoys are like all about the destruction of muggles.
Oh yeah, so racist. I mean, how many times do you use the word mudblood?
And then again in this chapter, mudblooding it up.
And he's like, you probably just don't want to stand here. They're coming after muggles. Like,
yeah,
you're going to be next. Basically being like, I don't know, fucking, shouldn't you be a little more scared? Which,
yeah,
he's not wrong.
Yeah.
That she should be scared.
Yeah, she should be scared. But like, why are you so fucking happy, you little cunt?
Also, like, are you stupid or are your parents stupid that you're just hanging around chilling when this is going on?
Yeah.
Like, if the right person, I guess for you, him, the wrong person sees you, isn't it going to be like, that was suspicious that he's
also
not running?
Also,
where are your parents?
Also, he knew a little too much of what was going on back there.
Yeah.
A little too much.
Yeah.
Too many details.
A lot of details.
Curious.
Very curious.
So Hermione pulls them off. They get separated from Ginny, Fred, and George.
Yeah, because
and
of
at
that
some point,
encounter.
Harry realizes he's lost his wand.
Yeah, it's not in his pockets, which is, they're in the fucking woods.
Yeah.
Like, that shit is gone.
And then Mr.
Which is crazy to me that you can't just blindly go, I see a wand, and it'll
yeah,
just come
like
to you.
When I need,
oh, I guess you can't do that without a wand.
But yeah, but could you
else?
Use somebody else's wand? Couldn't you do that? But like with my phone, hold on, with my iPhone, watch.
Watch? This is a podcast and most
never mind, you guys. I can summon my iPhone with my iWatch.
Wow.
It's fucking great. Technology is amazing. And I feel like, again, wizards, why don't you have that fucking technology?
Why do you guys have iPhones?
So Then they run into Winky, the house elf for Mr. Crouch.
Yeah, just in the woods, but
burst out from underneath a bush.
Yeah, but she's having this weird, didn't they say she, it looked like she was like walking
slow?
Oh really
yeah, she like couldn't move totally.
Like
she
it was like an invisible force was holding on her back, yeah. Or something, right? Or she was like,
yeah.
Very strange.
And she warns them all to run away. Bad things are happening.
She's like,
she warns them all to run away. That bad things are happening. Mm-hmm. We're going to pin that.
Sure are. And they do run away.
And they do run away. And then they manage, they run into Ludo Bagman, who has no idea what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, so he's like, he's just kind of like, yeah, distracted. What
like a little disoriented. Again, I read this and I was like, he's one of the new characters in the book. Therefore, he's trouble.
I just thought he was drunk.
Nope. He's trouble.
I thought it was just like a
He was up to something. I don't even try this with me. He was up to something in the woods. There's no way he was in the fucking woods, not knowing what's going on back there, just randomly there.
Here's the thing.
And then that's where the shit goes down later in this chapter.
Under normal circumstances, I would agree with you.
Oh, you are such a lying sack of shit.
As a blackout drinker?
No.
Who has often ended up in the woods?
That's not good for a story.
Sometimes not everything is good for the story.
Everything. Oh, if there is one thing I know about JK, it's that she hates trans women and she has everything that's good for a story.
I guess so. So what happens with him?
Anywho, so he disappears. He goes back and he's like, all right, I'm going to go help
the ministry.
He heads back to camp.
They need me.
Then they hear footsteps. They hear footsteps in the dark. All right.
And they call.
And Harry's like, who's there? And then a voice rings out and says, what does that say? I can't say it.
Mas mordre. I thought it was, I read it French-like, but I don't know if that's.
Mas mordre.
It's a spell. Mas mordre. And then something appears in the sky. It's green. A bright green.
It's a bright green skull with emerald stars and serpents protruding from its mouth like a tongue.
And they hear people screaming.
Screaming.
Like, what the fuck?
Everybody starts freaking out. Now, I have no idea what this means. I'm like, oh my God.
Neither do I if I was reading for the first time.
I have no idea what this means. At this point, I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? You know, I realized how dark it was in this chapter. The part about where the Roberts family, they have them in the air and they're like fucking with them. I was like, holy shit, this is so fucked up.
Yeah, because it's like they're twisting and tangling these little kids. Like it's nightmare shit.
Yeah, you're fucking with kids.
This is like exorcist.
Yeah, that is terrifying. And of course I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, oh great, now they got to wipe memory. If they survive, they're going to have to do a big memory wipe and then they're just going to be brain dead idiots. Oh my God.
Then everyone can park there for free.
They're like, that's what we were really doing. If you erase his brain enough, he'll give us this parking lot forever. Anywho.
Yeah, so there's this light in the air. Hermione is like trying to grab Ron and Harry, like, let's go.
So Ron and Hermione know what this is because Ron is a wizard who came from a wizarding family.
Wait,
so he knows
Ron
shit.
Knew what it was?
Yeah, they knew what it was. And then Hermione knows what it is, even though she's not from a wizarding family, because Hermione's like the smartest person ever. So she explains that this sign, it's called the Dark Mark, and it's the sign for Voldemort. It's like Voldemort's calling, like the last...
Sort of like bat signaling.
Yeah, so like anytime you see this sign, it's like, shit's about to get crazy.
Yeah,
you
know? Or shit has already gotten crazy.
And that's what's happening, is shit has gotten crazy over in the camping site. So it's like, oh my God, Voldemort.
It's like to let people know,
yeah,
the fucking shit went down in the camping site. Like, some plans have been rolled out, so to speak. And they try to run, but then all of a sudden, there's a bunch of wizards and witches apparating right around them, all wands pointed at them, like, fucking, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Almost so, instantly.
So now these three look like they're the ones responsible for the Dark Mark.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Weasley shows up.
And yeah, he's well, like, because it's Ministry Wizards that, as soon as that Dark Mark went up, they all apparated right there, and they're, like, stupefied.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I had to fucking stop whoever's there, and it just happens to be these three.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, Mr. Weasley shows up, and he's like, that's my son, stop. And it's, this is fucking weird. This shit gets weird.
So then Mr. Crouch comes back. Oh, no,
Mr.
no.
Mr. Crouch is there.
Mr. Crouch is there. He didn't come
and
back.
And he
was
is
never
so
there.
Certain that it's, obviously it's these three are, he's like, which all one three? Of you did this
yeah,
fucking
yeah, yeah.
dark mark?
Yeah. And the other witches and wizards point out that they're kids, and they were just, that's,
yeah, which know, is like, they wouldn't do
they
that.
They wouldn't even, he wouldn't even know how to do it.
Yeah, and also how fucking, like, offensive it is that someone would think Harry Potter, who is the person who sent Voldemort
yeah.
away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great logic. Yeah, yeah, the kid who's being hunted by Voldemort for some reason was like, let me bring him here.
Yeah.
Amos Diggory's there. He yeah. goes deeper into the woods
he goes
to see.
Because he immediately had done, I don't know if it was Stupefy?
A different spell.
A stun spell as soon as the Dark Mark went up. And so he goes, he's like, I'm just going to see if it got anything. And they're like, it's obviously, you know, it would have gotten away, but like.
And this was actually kind of fun, but also made me sad when they found Winky the house elf.
Winky, Mr. Crouch's house elf.
Yeah. So that was fun to me because Crouch had just said the kids had done it. So I'm like, aha, it might've been your elf, Crouch. Now you look bad.
Yeah, but then it's also like, why is your elf?
Yeah, and I also like felt bad. For some reason, the house elves have such a spot in my heart. I just,
yeah, because they're slaves.
Yeah, but they're little.
They're little, little and
tiny
all,
creatures.
And they're constantly abused.
Yeah.
And they find, and
now
they're
her,
like.
She's unconscious.
And people are like, the elf did it, which is.
And Mr. Crouch is freaked out, of course, as he should be.
Yeah, because it's his elf.
And then they realize she has a wand. That wand is Harry fucking Potter's wand.
Well, yeah, because they were like, an elf couldn't do it. You need a wand to cast that. And she's holding a wand. Oh, God. Omega killed himself. Sorry, if you're only listening, that makes no sense.
A bird flew the coop.
My stuffed owl fell down. You know, normally, yeah, a house elf couldn't conjure that spell, but they're holding a wand. And Harry goes, that's my wand. And they do a spell to show what the last spell cast on the wand is.
Yeah.
And it's Harry's wand. And this looks bad for in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because they just are taking his word that he lost his wand.
Uh huh. She didn't do it, even though she was in possession of it.
So it's like, was she going after whoever did it and just in the nick of time got it? Was she somehow framed? With
somebody snatched it, knocked her out, snatched it, summoned him, gave the wand back to her. I mean,
but what a quick, that would have to be so fucking quick.
I mean,
if Amos Diggory was immediately putting a stun spell into the woods.
I don't know.
Also, do they just like hit someone and leave them in the woods forever? How does he know he was completely accurate?
Yeah. He's like,
a passerby yeah. didn't get fucking
There's
hit.
Like 17 deer. Does it, because can he be that specific that it would only do it to a wizard? Or like, do you think the animals in the areas
I think
were stunned
just go,
too?
Ooh, I don't know. Hopefully not.
And then Mr. Weasley's like, guys, the elf could never have learned
yeah,
the spell.
Yeah, because Mr. Diggory's like, you did. It's the elf, and he's like, an elf. Someone would have to teach this elf. You would have to teach a house elf a spell, which pisses off Mr. Crouch because Mr. Crouch is like, oh, well, maybe Amos is suggesting that I'm teaching my elf how to conjure the dark mark.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, that was the thought I had. Was yeah. that like. Well, maybe you did.
Yeah, maybe you did.
Maybe it sort of
maybe
looks that
she
way.
Was possessed the same way Trelawney got possessed by Voldemort. Maybe Voldemort jumped into the body of the little elf.
Do we know that Trelawney was? I don't think we know that Trelawney was possessed by Voldemort.
She was
she's
possessed
just channeling
by some,
a medium. She's a medium. She's
I know,
channeling.
But what if? What
she
if
she just knows what was going to happen?
What if somehow they took control of Winky's body?
Oh, they used it as a puppet or
yeah.
something.
Mm-hmm. And
that's
then jumped out. Who knows? You know, I don't know what magic's
like,
capable
like
of.
Like the wizard equivalent of Charles Manson?
And then they all kind of agree that Winky just probably picked up the wand and whoever did it disapparated immediately. And that's when Winky snatched the wand.
Wrong time.
And then Mr. Crouch suspiciously is like, you know, even though she's innocent, she's going to be punished.
Which is like, why?
And he plans.
Oh, I know why. Because he told her to stay in the.
This is
he
what I don't.
He told her to stay.
Yeah.
In the tent. When tents were being pummeled and lit on fire, Yeah. Now she's in trouble because she got scared and ran and fucking.
And then here's how he's going to punish her, which I thought was a good thing. He is going to give her clothes, he says, which sets them free. Why is that a bad thing?
This is an argument. I'm going to say something that could get me in trouble. No, it can't get me in trouble. How free are you really if you are released from your duties with no assets?
You have no assets.
You have nowhere to go. You have nothing to do.
No one's going to give you work.
That's why reparations are a conversation that is ongoing and rightfully so, is because it's like, yeah, freeing the slaves.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
you didn't give them anything to equal.
So you've just set them up for failure.
And I'm not trying to equate fake house elves with human lives, but just the situation of, you know.
I think any reasonable person hearing this isn't going to hear this and be like, you know what? She's equating fake slavery with real slavery.
I mean, the point is that it's like, that's a form of abuse in itself to be like, well, I mean, yeah, like you can go.
But and like, you know where you're on your own. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Have fun in the rain. Like, it's... Oh, it's so sick.
Okay, so they all head back to the campsite.
And Hermione, by the way, not happy about the treatment of this fucking elf.
And Ron is like, can someone explain to me what the skull thing was? Oh, I guess he didn't know
what
it was.
He didn't know. Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
Hermione did, though. Mr.
Well, and the thing is, Hermione knew so much that they were suspicious of Hermione. And everyone's like, she's a muggle.
Yeah. She's the last person who would want that.
Mr. Weasley explains it. So.
And he's like, you know, this is a thing. It goes into the air. Every time they've seen it in the past, you know, killings happen.
Yeah, well,
it inspires terror and yada yada.
No one has seen the Dark Mark in 13 years.
Yeah.
And another important fact is 13 years ago and prior to that, when Voldemort was in power, when someone killed a family that, you know, did his bidding and killed a family, they would put a Dark Mark over their head. So like, the worst thing in the world, it's like you're like coming home from working out of town or coming home from a late night and you get to your house and the Dark Mark's above and you're like, oh my God, my whole family's
not
dead.
Good.
Yeah.
Horrifying. They also find out that the people who are making the whole Roberts family float, there are these people called the Death Eaters, which are followers of Voldemort.
And apparently these are all the ones that never went to Azkaban. So they're all hooded because they've all been lying for the last 13 years, blending in among everyone, pretending like, oh, I was possessed. And, oh my God. So, For sure.
Somehow they all got away. They didn't catch any of them, which is weird. Like, very ineffective ministry.
Yeah. And doesn't fucking look good for the ministry that everyone got away. But I guess if you can apparate, it's real.
Also, but I'm sorry. If Harry Potter can, you know, battle evil 3 books in a row, you'd think a whole fucking crew of ministry people, the people who are supposed to be like the top guys in the game, could catch one?
Yeah, I feel like it's unfair to call the ministry people top guys in the game. It's like the top people in their department are probably the top people in their department. But at the end of the day, it's government workers. And it's like, you would think that the best employee at the DMV would be able to stop a bunch of death eaters. But like, the thing is also that if you're trying to catch them and make sure that this isn't, if the thing you said with Winky about someone possessing someone's body is true, who's not to say that these people on the ground aren't possessed? And
true.
So if you know, it's being overly cautious to the point that they end up getting away, but it's like, well, I don't want to kill them.
Yeah.
But then I don't know. You would think there's got to be like stun spells, and it does seem like a big snafu that they didn't get. Not one person.
Yeah. Not one.
But this is like an open field where muggles were, that they just put up, you know, a Quidditch match. So there's no like anti, like in Hogwarts, you can't apparate in or out. People can pop in and out all the time here.
Yeah.
So
and they end up having to wipe the memories of the Roberts.
And and they're all, you know, probably mush, but nobody says
probably
that.
Mush. Yeah. And then that's it.
Yeah.
Don't know who conjured the Dark Mark.
They try to go back to sleep for a couple hours with the plan to leave as soon as they can in the morning, first port key out. And I don't know. Pretty fucking crazy.
We'll see what's happening.
We'll be back.
Bye.
Okay, chapter 10.
Here we go.
Back.
We're back. Chapter 10. Mayhem at the ministry.
Ooh, okay.
So there's a shitstorm because of everything that went on at the Quidditch World Cup.
Yeah, like we were saying, they fucking didn't handle shit well.
Nope.
And not only that, but Mr. Weasley, when he was walking out of the woods after that whole fiasco with Hermione, Ron, and Harry, there's like a crowd waiting to hear any type of news, and he's like, they didn't catch him. Fucking.
Just lets everybody know.
Yeah, and apparently there's some reporter
named Rita Skeeter. I don't know why she couldn't have just named her Rita Skeeter. Can we just call her Rita Skeeter?
Rita Skeeter. Yeah, just do it with a Boston accent.
Rita Skeeter.
She printed an article in The Prophet with all these fucking, you know.
Oh, we missed the part about Mrs. Weasley being really sad.
Oh, why did we get there?
Well, oh, okay.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Anyways, Mrs. Weasley was really bummed out because she's like, that she yelled at the twins before they
left.
Oh,
yeah, they come home and obviously she's heard what's happened there and
she's like, I'm so sorry. Okay, God, yeah. The last thing I did was yell at you.
I don't know if I could live with myself, which is cute.
Anyway, so Skeeter, skeet.
Washington Post level. I don't know what the Washington Post does. I'm just picking a newspaper.
It's New York Times, Washington Post. This is a big person. So
who is slandering the not slandering?
Who says the ministry blunders, culprits not apprehended, lack security, dark wizards running unchecked, national disaster.
This is someone who, were they on Twitter, I would fucking hate them.
Yeah.
She's
a fucking cancel culture bitch.
Like, even if I agree that it's like, yeah, no, the ministry didn't handle this well, she's someone leading the charge against
blowing everything out of proportion and getting heads to roll. She's the person who's like, people should lose their jobs.
Yeah.
She's a Karen.
She's a fucking Karen. Cunty Karen.
So Mr. Weasley has to go into the office because he has to smooth things over because this is going to turn into a whole PR disaster. Harry's like, has Hedwig come back yet? Because Hedwig is carrying the message back from Sirius potentially about his scar. And then
Hedwig in sight.
He tells Hermione and Ron about the shit with the scar. And he's like, you know, based on the scar and based on seeing the dark mark, I'm like, holy shit. And now, based on everything that I know now, about his scar aches when Voldemort is present.
Yeah.
And the dark mark being a symbol of Voldemort. I'm like, oh yeah, like maybe real Voldemort. Not like some
fetus.
Weird fetus form of.
You think like, oh shit, is
Voldemort. Are we going to meet physical real Voldemort this book? I think so. I think this is the first book where we're going to physically meet Lord Voldy.
We'll see.
Bitch. I don't believe anything you say. We're meeting him.
We'll see.
We're meeting him.
It's neither a yes or a no.
I'm not doing this.
I mean, we will see.
Snatch face.
Okay,
you are.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I just wanted to call you that. It sounds good.
Well, you're a bitch.
Hermione's like, and Ron, of course, is a little bitch, just like you.
Just like you.
Just like you.
I'm gonna listen.
Ron is like, oh no, and Hermione's like, that's cool. We got this. Just fucking level-headed. And by the way,
Hermione's, it's cool. We got this level-headed about Voldemort being back.
Yeah. She's being practical. Hermione's practical.
About Voldemort? That's crazy.
Anywho. Percy and Mr. Weasley spend a lot of time at the ministry because they're dealing with all of this.
Yeah,
because
they work there. And I think it's probably a thing where all hands on deck. You know what I mean?
All hands on deck. And of course, Percy. So far up his own tight ass. I mean, at this point, I feel like he has just got a real loose bottom.
I mean, he is.
He spends so much time in his own ass.
Insufferable.
He actually cloned himself into a butt plug so he could shove it up his ass and walk around with a Percy butt plug the whole time he's at the ministry. Just up his own ass all the time.
So shitty. And he's kind of shitty about what his dad did.
Yeah. Oh, and he like talks shit about his dad.
Where he's like, well, I mean, he shouldn't have made an official statement. It's like,
and you shouldn't be such a cunt.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't think about the paperwork after I was getting my kids out of the woods from underneath the dark.
Oh yeah. You're fucking dude.
I guess
water's thicker than blood.
I mean,
Percy, you cunt.
It's like, that's what you're doing? You're going to throw your dad under the bridge for a boss that doesn't even know your name?
Yeah. Doesn't even know your name.
What a loser.
Anywho, so things are just not good there. School's starting up.
That's good.
Mrs. Weasley got all of their stuff for school.
Yeah, while they're away, which is interesting because she was able to get gold for Harry's stuff from his vault. And it's like, what do you, how?
How does that work?
Do you get a permission slip? Maybe. Yeah, maybe you can magically. And
Ron gets Ron gets a hand-me-down robe that's hideous.
Yeah, they have to have dress robes starting the fourth year because, you know, they start having formal situations. Yeah,
and he has to wear one that's red with white lace.
Yeah, it's like maroon-ish with white. It sounds like a nightmare baby doll dress.
It does. It sounds like it's maybe one of those, like a virgin gown, like a virgin wears on a wedding night.
Ugh.
Where she's like, I'm coming to bed, honey, with my virgin pussy in my virgin gown.
Deflower me.
And it's
chin.
Red. It's maroon. So when I bleed out my hymen in the bed, it will put it on the cloak.
It'll blend in.
Soak into the cloak.
Bring me my red dress.
Bring me the blood dress.
Ugh. And Harry, of course.
The dress is ultimately is going to become the half-blood prince. She's going to wring it out. Wring it out.
How'd you know that that's what that's about? the half-blood prince is just about...
It's about... Ron's red cloak.
It's about Hermione getting her period in the midst of her transition.
Oh, when she's boning Ron, because they officially gonna get together at some point. He gonna take her virgin.
By the way, I can't wait to see what Hermione's
bush is gonna look like based on how shitty JK has described her hair. Hey, JK has already described her hair as nothing short of pubic hair. Like every time they're like, Hermione's big, bushy, dry, fucking hair. It's hay hair.
I'm sorry. Do you think that J.K. Rowling is going to discuss pubic hair?
You know what? If she did, it would be like that.
Not unlike the hair on her bushy head. Hermione's filthy pubes.
That's it, pretty much.
Is just reading
Ron is fucking pissed about...
who wouldn't be? I remember being in middle school and getting fucking secondhand shit. It's embarrassing. Kids are mean.
Yeah, she's mean. And you also got secondhand food. Yeah. You got ramen.
Yeah.
My favorite food. Today's episode brought to you by Manchurian Ramen. We could get them to sponsor
brand
us.
Brand name ramen?
I mean, isn't it called Manchurian Ramen?
I have no idea. I don't think
there's off-brand ramen. What is it going to be? Less than 25 cents a package? Cup of noodles is more expensive than ramen.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, a cup of noodles is more expensive because you have to pay for the styrofoam cup.
You're paying for those wholesome
You're paying for a receptacle.
Off the top. And I'm like, wow, we got a cup today.
I always called them space vegetables. Do you remember having space food?
Yeah, they're like freeze-dried.
Yeah, they're like space food.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with Chapter 11.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, Chapter 11.
Aboard the Hogwarts Express. Okay, so the night before they're all heading off, that night that we just finished on, Mr. Weasley has to go into the ministry.
Yes.
Okay. Because there's someone named Mad-Eye who's gotten into trouble with his muggle neighbors for disturbing the peace.
Yeah.
Mad-Eye. Very intimidating name.
Extremely. Yeah, no, it's, what is his deal?
It's a nickname, because it's, in quotations, Mad-Eye.
Yeah, apparently there was an intruder near his house, but his booby trap trash cans exploded and scared them off.
Okay. So Amos Diggory,
there's a whole thing. He's got booby
says to Mr. Weasley, let's smooth things over. Mad-Eye's supposed to be starting his new job today.
Cool. Great.
Great. Okay. I'm like, wait, why the fuck does any of this matter? So the Weasleys start talking about Mad-Eye Moody. George thinks he's a nutter.
So apparently this guy is infamous. He's well known, apparently.
Just a crazy dude.
Which I don't know if that speaks to the fame level of whoever this Mad-Eye guy is. If he's somehow close to the family either through work, or is the wizarding community just so fucking small? I don't know.
Mrs. Weasley's like, well, your father thinks very highly of this man. So, of course, Mr. Kooky-ass Weasley thinks this kooky-ass guy is great. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's, you know.
But I trust Mr. Weasley. I like Mr. Weasley. I'm a big fan. So Moody is a retired Auror. An Auror is a dark wizard catcher.
Yeah, so he was really big during the whole
Voldemort years.
I mean, he captured some like crazy number of wizards. Did they, do you have it? It, like somewhere in the 50s or the...
He's been getting really paranoid.
Like he was very successful and the success that the good ministry side had during Voldemort is he played a very large part in getting people put in Azkaban, getting the bad people behind bars, mm-hmm. the people who even after Voldemort came to power, tried to, you know, hide and run.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I imagine that comes with some sort of trauma, some sort of, it's gotta be a crazy.
So now
lifestyle.
He's super paranoid.
Yeah.
Because if you put away that many wizards,
people are going to come for you.
Yeah.
It's like gangster shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you can't just fucking. Yeah.
Not all bodies stay buried, you know?
Oh boy.
That's some gangster shit right there.
Wizard shit.
Okay. So then they all head off to the Hogwarts Express. Charlie and Bill hint that, to the kids that they're going to have an interesting year.
So weird.
Like, interesting year.
The deal?
Interesting year.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what that's about.
Everyone seems to be dropping hints about shit.
And everyone refuses to explain what's going to happen this year at school.
You'll see. Just that whole fucking, let me tell you a hint, but not tell you. And it's like, why are you going to lead me halfway there and just leave me in the fucking dark?
One of the things we learned in the last chapter, which we didn't discuss, is we met some of the students from the other schools. One of the other schools is called Durmstrang.
Yeah, which is known for being...
where a lot of dark...
they do a lot of dark arts there.
Yeah.
They, we hear... Was it in this chapter?
This was this chapter. Hermione... Draco Malfoy is bragging that, you know, his dad wasn't originally going to send him to Hogwarts.
He was going to go to Durmstrang.
He was going to go to Durmstrang, but his mom loved him too much.
Ugh.
So Durmstrang is the other school, and then there was another one. I can't remember what the name of it was.
Oh, and that was maybe in another chapter. Beauxbatons.
Yeah, Beauxbatons. That was in there too.
Where they heard
French.
They heard French.
Yeah.
And was it Hermione who was like, they must be from Beauxbatons? Because it's a French school.
And so both of these places, their locations are hidden.
No, Beauxbatons in France and Durmstrang's is unknown.
Oh, Durmstrang's is unknown.
It's thought to be hidden.
What anyways.
I don't know. Maybe it's just one of those things where if you actually met someone from Durmstrang, they'd be like, no, you take this train to that. But since you don't go there, you don't know where it is. Because someone even points out that, you know, technically Hogwarts is hidden to muggles.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who knows?
So Draco, I love this fun detail, this little fucking Draco nugget. He sees Ron's robe and gives him shit for it.
It's so, I mean, they're what? They're 14-year-old boys.
Who cares?
They're 14-year-old boys.
Who cares? I just,
It's just classic bullying years where it's like, people are so concerned with how they dress. And then like, the funniest thing in the world is mooning, which never seems to come up in this book. But
what?
It's just that age where all you do is bully people out of fear that you'll be bullied.
Yeah.
That like
strike before someone else strikes
Don't
first.
Let anyone notice that my hair is out of place or that my outfit is silly. Like, please just let me get through this. And that's, of course, you know.
We also at some point need to talk about the fact that we found out that Draco and Hermione might be dating in real life.
Oh, we should have done that as our
back next time.
Yeah, that's a little nugget we saw out on the interwebs that the actors who played them might be...
Might be boning in real life.
Dating?
She might be bleeding out on somebody else's house coat.
Yeah, she's giving him that mud blood.
Yes, because she's still a virgin.
Yeah, sure.
With all that fame and fortune, she hasn't let somebody throw it in her fucking veggie.
You don't get that uptight and you... Never mind.
All right.
She's great. I love her.
We love you. Then Malfoy finds out that the kids don't know what all this big news is about what's going to be happening
at
Hogwarts.
Oh, he starts talking about it. And then
he's like, you don't know?
I've known for so long.
Oh.
Father.
My dad told me about it ages ago. Who heard about it from Cornelius Fudge.
Oh, the Minister of Magic.
Mr. Fudgepacker.
Just such fucking rotten, gross, name-dropping... Rich kid bullshit.
And of course, Ron's fucking pissed because he's a bitch.
Yeah. And it is also annoying, though, because it's like, great, my whole family seems to fucking know something's up and they didn't tell me and now I have to deal with Draco Malfoy rubbing it in
my face. I don't understand. I know what happened because we know what they're supposed to be happening. I don't know why they wouldn't just fucking tell them. It's not this big secret. It's not even that cool. Who gives a fuck?
You don't think it's cool?
No, I don't. Next chapter. Be
That's
right back.
Okay.
Chapter 12. The Triwizard Tournament.
So this is the thing that you realize they're doing that you mentioned in our last section. Mm-hmm.
That everybody was being left out on. Okay, so...
They get to Hogwarts.
They get to Hogwarts. Peeves drops a water balloon.
He's throwing water because he's a fucking dick. It's fucking... Which is so funny because it's raining.
Yeah.
Like, why now is when you do water balloons? Yeah. Is he filling them with rain? Is that the only way?
Probably.
I don't know.
I still don't understand how ghosts can hold things, but anyhow.
It's like, how can you hold something but everything goes through you?
Yeah. Anyhow, so Professor McGonagall brings everybody in because the sorting's about to happen where all the students get placed in their places.
All the teachers are there. Harry notices that the dark arts position is still empty. There's no one in the chair.
Lupin had left from last year because he was found out to be a werewolf by Snape.
Like, accidentally leaked.
So nobody's there.
So they're like, maybe they just haven't hired someone. Maybe Dumbledore finally gave up because it's a cursed position.
So the sorting happens, blah, blah, blah.
Colin Creevy's little brother gets sorted.
Colin Creevy is a Gryffindor.
And he's so excited because his little brother Dennis is there. And Dennis gets... Not only does Dennis get sorted into
Gryffindor,
he seems as annoying as Colin. And he is excited that on the boat ride over, which only the first year...
Oh, yeah, he fell
into the lake. And something threw him back into the boat, which means he's... So annoying, the giant
monster.
Eel monsters in the lake. We're like, now we're good.
For some reason, I like him. But I'm still convinced Colin
Creevy. He's a cute little kid. I mean,
Colin Creevy's going to be a single white female at some point.
We'll find out.
Nearly headless Nick lets it slip to Hermione that the food at Hogwarts is made by house elves. Hogwarts has house elves.
Just having a conversation with everyone at the table, and he brings that up. And Hermione is pissed. Hermione is anti-house elf.
Yeah.
She thinks it's slavery. She doesn't think it's right. And now she's like, she pushes her food away. She's like, I'm not eating.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but bold statement for now.
Mm-hmm.
This is the food all year.
Yeah.
What is your plan?
You're gonna live off
Bernie Bott's every flavor beans from Hogsmeade?
Yeah, yeah. What are you going to eat, your hay hair?
Fucking, I mean, maybe.
I'm never going to get over this hair thing. Anyway, so... Professor Dumbledore announces that it's the Triwizard Tournament, and there's no Quidditch World Cup this year, which is a big fucking bummer.
Devastating. So he goes before he even announces the tournament. He's like, "There will be no Quidditch World Cup," which just sounds like they're being unfun for the sake of being.
Yeah,
fun.
That's rude. And then there's a storm outside, thunder, lightning, blah blah blah. A figure walks in. And it's the new dark arts teacher.
So looming. He's got scars all over his face. His face is fucked up.
This is how they described his face. Ready? Every inch of his skin seemed to be scarred. The mouth looked like a diagonal gash, and a large chunk of nose was missing.
It sounds like your pussy.
It was pussy.
Sorry, I didn't know if you're going to make that joke, so I just jumped on it.
Yeah, she got it. I said it earlier.
If anyone's seen her pussy's nose, please mail it back to us at the Comedy Store. That's not a clip. That's my pussy's nose.
Can someone please send us a fake nose?
Thank you. Mail it to the Comedy Store. We'll get it when life starts back up. So in 3 years.
Next never. The guy has one regular eye and then one
big old crazy eye. That's wonky vivid big blue. Eye. It's just like, and it's like spinning around and it goes to the back.
And everybody's
room.
Like, who is this fucking guy?
Fucking creepy. He's got a peg leg.
Or
a wooden leg. I don't know if it's a peg.
Maybe it's a Pegwood. So Dumbledore's like, goes back into the whole Triwizard Tournament. So basically, they're going to be hosting it at Hogwarts.
It's the first time in 100 years.
In 100 years, because 100 years ago, the death toll was getting too high. And they're like, we're bringing it back. So Beauxbatons and...
Durmstrang, which we just had learned about in the last couple chapters.
Because J.K. knows how to set up a story. No detail is unimportant.
She couldn't think of the word coincidence.
A coincidence.
Yeah, sure isn't. So we find out these two schools are going to be... A handful of people from these two schools are going to be here studying because they may be chosen to be entered.
But you have to be over 17.
That's the rule. That's how they're like, because it's so unsafe, you gotta be
older than 17.
Which is only seniors who have had their birthday.
Yeah.
If I wouldn't be, I wouldn't be.
Neither would I.
I would never be eligible.
Yeah.
Neither are the fucking Weasley twins. Yeah. They're pissed and they're like already plotting about how can we try to get
them. They're like, how can we make this happen?
Because there's a huge, you win a huge pot of money.
Yeah, and the Weasleys, after their big gambling win, they really want that. My whole thing is like, well, how is Harry Potter gonna do it? His name's on the book! He should be the Triwizard Champion!
That's what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Harry needs to be in it. What's the point if Harry's not in it? Who gives a fuck?
Maybe Harry saves the day some other way or whatever. Fucking who knows?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either. Is that the whole, that's not the whole thing.
No, it's not the whole thing. Sorry. There's a few more details we forgot to talk about. So everybody's freaking out about this news. Everybody's talking about it. The Weasleys are fantasizing about it. Harry's fantasizing about it. And Harry's fantasizing about it, going to sleep,
dreaming of winning and
impressing Cho Chang,
his crush.
So he's thinking about Cho Chang, yanking on his chain, going a Betty Bye.
I love that you think that he's, that's, I mean, probably he's a 14-year-old boy.
He's a 14-year-old boy.
But they're all sharing
a dorm. He's tugging at that dick. They've got curtains. They have jerk-off curtains. Every guy knows about jerk-off curtains and bunk beds.
In bunk beds.
People who, any, if you're on the bottom bed, that's the jerk off zone. When I was at camp, all the guys had jerk off stations.
Stations?
Yeah, every guy would go into the different stations
and
jerk off.
You slob.
No. Everyone's, nobody wants to skeet skeet standing up. You want to relax, kick back, jerk it into a sock, toss it in the laundry, or throw it under your bed and let it dry.
Oh my God. That's the fucking.
Ooh. Do you not know that goes on?
I mean, in theory, yeah. In reality,
you've never found a crusty sock under a guy's bed?
No.
Oh.
I don't go.
Yeah, of course I'm cleaning the guy's room that I'm seeing. Of course.
Yeah, I'm not the weird one.
I'm obsessive compulsive.
I'm not the weird one.
But you've never stumbled upon one?
No.
You've never lost an item? I don't date guys who. You've never lost an item in someone's room and been like, gee, let me go under the bed and then found a graveyard of fucking crusty sock?
How have you lost something under someone's bed?
Because I'm dating guys who don't sleep on the floor.
Yeah, so am I.
Well, now.
And I've never lost anything under his bed. And if I did, guess what? It's gone. It might as well have gone through the fucking looking glass into the wardrobe. I don't want it.
Guys, please know. I walked into Jessica Michelle's room today and the bed was made. And I said to her, I go, what did I say?
Oh, Andy made your bed.
Because you would never make your own bed. What? She, by the way, your room is really clean right now. Did Andy
by the way, up? What you're doing right now is from a post that you shared about engaging in mental something, something.
Oh, mental warfare.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Are you?
No.
Fucking bitch.
I just like picking on you for being messy.
You know what? I'm messy. You're and not a, I've not, still never thing, found jerk off socks in any of my encounters.
I will say this. You're not a slob. You're not filthy. You're
no,
just messy.
I'm messy.
You're messy.
I'm it's, messy. My room is organized chaos. And frankly, it's
fine.
A little stressful when someone decides that they will help me by cleaning my room without consulting me about where they're moving things because I know where everything is.
By the way, she doesn't know where everything is.
Yes, when it's not.
You didn't know where the batteries were when you were with me, when I put the batteries there.
I didn't know where the batteries were because when I buy my own batteries, I put them in a drawer and I forgot that you had been like, no, let's put them in the freezer.
But you were there.
I'm not
going to
feel bad for not remembering your system. And I don't think anyone should have that feeling for anything. Like if I was like, Nicole, why didn't you know that my underwear were stuck to the trampoline? That's crazy for me. They're not. They're not.
Oh, yeah, I was just looking.
But like the idea that someone should be embarrassed because they have forgotten another person's system if they don't have the same system. If it's a workplace and there's a place
come
for
here,
everything,
come here.
Fine.
I love you. I love you. Come here.
No, I don't want to
smell
come
my
there.
Armpit.
I don't want to smell your armpit.
Oh, come on.
Okay, I would rather lose all of my paperwork than smell your armpits.
Look, it's sweaty. Look at that.
Yeah, it's. Why are you? That's. I use that microphone.
This
right.
is my microphone. This no, is the waxy jizz one.
It's my microphone. That's my jizz.
Tastes a lot like wax.
Yeah. Well,
wax that puss.
I, that yeah, puss. I do wax my pussy. Maybe you could learn a few things from it.
Yeah,
fucking
probably.
Hermione. Anyway.
Woo! Shots fire! Pew, pew. All right, bye guys.
See you guys next time.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.